Thank you, brother. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And y'all look like y'all can handle that, the whole chapter. Amen. It's only 26 verses. I'm telling you, though, we're going to get Brother Taylor to tell this story next Wednesday night. You get all rehearsed up, okay? We're going to get your microphone where everybody can hear you. Pretty quiet, so we're going to get everybody. I want people. I'm telling you, I've never heard nothing like this before. It just blew. I said, glory to God, that man went through all that. Well, in an airplane, serving the military. Amen. Huh? He goes through worse now. Well, it all depends on how you look at it, don't it? Alright, Galatians chapter 5. Get serious here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And I'd like to stop right there and tell you that's just the opposite of what people say that believe they can lose their salvation. They say that you fell from grace, that if you wasn't trying, that if you sinned, this says you fell from grace if you tried to keep the law. They say you fell from grace if you missed the law. Well, all of us missed the law. That's why he's talking about verse 1. We have liberty in Christ. Doesn't mean that we can live without the law, but it means the law doesn't condemn us anymore. We're free. Amen. We better go on. Now he said, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's how we get righteousness. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now you understand he's talking about the Jewish law compared to no Jewish law. Okay, that's what the circumcision stands for. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now, wait a minute. He's not talking about getting drunk. He's talking about those that done went back to the law. You did run well. Now you went back to the law. Who tricked you, he said. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. He says, if I go back to preaching the circumcision, there's not going to be an offense of that cross that I've been preaching, so you won't persecute me anymore. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Now, when was the last time you prayed that with somebody? I do. I say, Lord, you know, if they're not going to get saved, they're not going to get right with God, these people be better off without them. Whatever that means to the Lord, you know. I wish they were cut off from you, he says. Man. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, all the commandments are fulfilled right there in that, because if you love your neighbor like yourself, you're not going to hurt them, okay? Verse 15, but ye bite and devour one another. Take heed that you be not consumed of one another. That's how churches get destroyed. They consume one another. They get rise off getting people saved and get rise on each other, trying to straighten each other out, criticizing each other. Amen? I got news for you. There ain't nobody comes. This church is perfect. There ain't nobody in here ever, not one day, that ain't something wrong with us. Amen. We'll preach that. This I say, then. Walk in the Spirit. That's a capital S, the Holy Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, when you're walking in the Spirit, didn't say beside Him, but in Him. He has surrounded you. You're in Him. He's in you. Live that way. Walk that way. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, we need to take that verse out and put it in the modern contemporary church. Yes. They're trying to run things by the flesh. What appeals to the flesh instead of the Spirit. Right. Amen. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, they're seen. They're shown forth. Everybody can see them. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's loose sexual living, idolatry, witchcraft, that's fortune telling and all that other stuff, hatred, variance, can't get along, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now he's talking about walking in the Spirit. The Spirit is around us. We're in Him. He's in us. He's all, and we're following that. Now, these other things are things that have nothing to do with the Spirit. They're carnal. They're fleshly. Now, if you live in the Spirit, then you must be saved. If you live surrounded and immersed in these other things, you must not be. Doesn't mean that one time somebody fell, but if they live in it, they live in it. Okay? Now, let's see, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now I want you to notice, he begins by talking about the law and how these people think that if they're keeping the law, then they must be spiritual and they must be saved. And then he switches that over and he points out what the law points out. And he says, now, that's what the law is for, to condemn those things. The law is not to save you. The law is to condemn. And so he names the things that the law condemns. So if you're walking in the law, all you're doing is condemning all the time. And by the way, you probably have broken one yourself or more. So you're condemning yourself. But if you love your neighbor as yourself, like you ought to love yourself, by the way, you do love yourself. You fed yourself today. You bathed yourself today, or at least we hope you did. You clothed yourself. You didn't walk over here. You rode an automobile. Amen? Most of you got planned what you're going to eat when you get home already. Ain't that right, Brother Danny? Somebody fix Danny a meal and send it. Danny, I'll give you $20. You can stop and get you something to eat, okay? You can go through a drive-thru. But anyway, what he's talking about is spirit versus the flesh. Now, if we walk in the flesh, we're going to live like the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we're going to live like the Spirit. The Spirit is the seed which God has implanted in our soul. Yes. The Holy Spirit moved in. That day you got saved, He moved in. That's the seed, that's the part of God that He implants everybody inside Himself, inside of everybody that ever got saved. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is what grows out of this fertile soil because that seed is planted in there. See? So the fruit of the Spirit, this is just a pile of dirt. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And so the Holy Spirit produces fruit. It grows out of this pile of dirt. Now, if this pile of dirt grows, anything's going to be dirty. But if God puts something in here and it grows out of it, then it's holy. You understand what I'm talking about? And that's the difference between the flesh and the spirit. He talks about being high. Don't be high-minded. It's not you, it's Him in you, the hope of glory. It's not you, it's Him, see, that produces these things. What we do is we water it, that seed, the Holy Spirit in there, and that faith that He's put in there, that part of God and that part of the kingdom of God that lives in there, we water it by the Word of God and by prayer, and it produces faith. Faith produces good works. James says that. Show me your faith, I'll show you my works, because faith without works is dead. Faith produces works. Well, it's not your faith, it's the Holy Spirit living in you that gives you the faith to walk in the Spirit. You can't do it because you're in the flesh. And the flesh can't please God. So He puts His Holy Spirit in us, and then people look at us and they'll say this right here. They'll say, well, good gracious, it looks like you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It looks like you have all those things. And we smile and take credit for it when it's really not us, but it's the Spirit blossoming through us. That's all it is. And the more we water it, the more it grows. See? And we look at people with great faith and we think, wow, they are a great saint. No, they're walking in the Spirit. They're submitting to the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is as closer we get as Christians to the Lord, that's walking in the Spirit. The closer you get to Him, the more you're walking in the Spirit. And so people that are walking in the Spirit, they never give you the impression they're hiding something all the time. You ever been around people, they just act like, well, man, they don't want to answer no questions. They just, I don't even know where they live. A lot of people won't tell me where they live. They don't want me to come see them, you know. they want to give you the appearance that they're perfect. But they're not. And you'll hear apologies from the lips of those who walk in the Spirit saying, I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. But those who walk in the flesh, you'll never hear that from them. Because what they're going to do, they're going to elevate what they do. Well, you know, I don't drink that. Well, you know, I don't do that. Well, you know, I'm not over there. Where the one that's walking in the Spirit, they say, no, I don't either, but it's by the grace of God. It ain't me, it's all Him in me. See? That's walking in the Spirit. The one that walks in the Spirit, our internal security allows us to respond quickly to our own shortcoming. That's the Spirit that lives in us that allows us to do that. Because the flesh does not want to respond to those shortcomings. Are y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Walking in the Spirit is not some experience that you had where you spoke in some unknown language. That's not in here. Y'all still with me, Jimmy Swaggart fans? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that unknown languages is a sign of being filled with the Spirit or walking in the Spirit. It was a sign to the Jew, and they weren't unknown to them, by the way. Nine nations on the day of Pentecost, and every one of them said, we hear them in our own language. So there's 120 disciples preaching in nine different languages. No, they were preaching in... They were ignorant people. They weren't educated people. They were preaching in Hebrew, and those people heard them in nine different languages. So if there was a miracle, it was in the hearing, not speaking. But they said they spake with other tongues because that's what the people heard, see. By the way, go back and read it. After Acts chapter 5, it never happens again. And that's when the Christianity leaves the Jew and goes to the Gentile who doesn't require a sign as the Jew did. Now, the Jew had to have a sign because he had to write God. He had to write book. He had to write religion. He had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He had to write lineage. He had the priesthood. He had the temple. And of course people come along and said, I'm the Savior. And of course people said, now we've been saved. We're following this and we're following that one. And the Jews said, prove it. So they required a sign. Acts chapter 4, I think it was, the last sign was given this. Said they all met and they prayed and said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the Word of God with great boldness. That's your sign right there. It's funny how all these people claim to speak in other tongues, never witness. And when they do, all they talk about is talking in tongues. Well, that makes me mad. And so Catholics now talk in tongues. Jehovah's Witness talk in tongues. Mormons talk in tongues. Some ignorant Baptists do it. You been there? Holy Ghost, free will. Yabba dabba, somebody stole my Honda stuff. But the truth is, we, when we walk in the Spirit, the proof is, the evidences are, not what we do, but what He does through us. See? Now, specifically, our lives will show these nine virtues. There's nine virtues listed right there. Nine things that our life will show if we're walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. So, we all fall short on some of those. And He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And so I picked out three that I come short on. You ever done that? Read those virtues and find out the ones you come short on. Number one. That love and that peace. You know what that goes along with? Kindness. I need to be more gentle and loving to people. I ain't bad as I used to be. I used to be a lot harder than I am now. I was about like Billy Boatwright. I used to be a whole lot harder than I am now. He ain't hard. He'll cry at the drop of a hat. He ain't hard. He'll get to tell me stories. He'll get to crying, I think. Man, the Lord sure had worked on that guy. I remember when he wasn't like that. Amen. But let me tell you something. I have to work on that. I have to work on loving people. I have to work on being kind to people. I have to work on being gentle to people. I'm pretty blunt sometimes. And it's kind of like the old fellow said, I just jab it in and break it off in you, you know. And that's not what I need to do. I need to be more gentle and loving, even to my own hurt, like Jesus did. Jesus loved people to His own hurt.
Yeah,
the ones that nailed Him to the cross, He knew they were going to do it before they ever did it, and He loved them and preached to them anyway. The one that betrayed Him, walked with Him for 3 years, and He knew He was going to betray Him, and He treated Him just like He did all the rest of them anyway, knowing who He was, knowing He was a devil, and He still loved Him and treated Him kindly. I need that. I need more of that. I have met preachers that were so mean. Serious. Just mean. Hate everybody. Judge everybody. Y'all ain't never met no mean preachers. Billy, you have, you know. I mean mean. Just tell people to go to hell. Yeah. I was knocking on doors one time. I caught the name of the guy that was with me. It was on a Thursday night in summer like this. We're knocking on doors. Knocking on this one door, this big man. Came to the door bigger than me. And we were taking turns. I'd do a door. We'd talk. You know, I'd talk at one door. He'd talk at the next door. So I knocked on the door, and the old boy didn't say nothing. And I introduced myself, told him where we was from. And I said, this is one of our church men right here, and he's got something he wants to tell you. Mistake. Big mistake. He said, you saved? Man said, no. He said, you want to get saved? He said, no. He said, well, go to hell then. That's exactly what he said. And I said, whoa! What? He didn't mean that the way it sounded. He said, yes, I did. I said, thank you for talking. And took off. That man was bigger. He could have whooped both of us. The next door, I said, I'll talk. And the next door, I said, I'll talk. And the next door, I said, I'll talk. And I never asked him to go with me again, not ever. I'm serious. That really happened. Where's the Spirit in that? Where's the Holy Spirit in that? And bragged about being a fundamental Baptist, King James, Bible believer, believed a book from kibber to kibber. You know, just brag on that stuff all the time. He needs to work on kindness too, wouldn't you think? Loving his neighbor. I need to love my neighbor more. My neighbor's dogs wake me up. Sometimes I want to just go up there and knock on the door and say, are you stupid? Can you not get this dog to shut up? But I don't do it. Instead, I take a firecracker up there and throw it at the dog. No, if they're next door, I do. But I don't go up the street. But I need to work on that. I mean, if I'm going to have the fruit of the Spirit, the only reason I don't is because I don't allow it. Y'all still with me? Then I thought about this. He said, long-suffering. Long-suffering. You know what that is? That's patience. And sometimes people say, well, don't pray for patience, you'll get tribulation. Well, the Bible tells you to pray for tribulation and that for patience and the tribulation will help you get it. Everybody wants to take the easy road. I need to be more long-suffering toward my wife, my children, my grandchildren, church members. Come on, help me here. Amen. Are we long-suffering? Everyone doesn't know biblically what we know. Well, I'm sorry, they know you, New King James over there. Maybe don't know no better. Well, ain't got that contemporary music over there. And I'm just going to tell them every time I say, why don't you shut up? They don't know no better. Why don't you just be long-suffering, pray for them, put a word in every once in a while. If there wasn't something to preach against, a lot of people wouldn't have nothing to preach at all. Be long-suffering with people. Put up with people. You ever thought about this? Maybe they're just having a bad day. I can't stand to see people mistreat waitresses. I can't stand it. They do it. A lot of so-called Christians do it. We ate spaghetti for supper tonight. If I'm some of them little girls, that plate of spaghetti would be right on that man's head. I'd just dump it right on him while he was fussing at me. I'd take that spaghetti. Just But everybody, hey, look, everybody has a bad day. Had a bad day today myself. Wasn't real great yesterday. So how do you know somebody's not having a bad day? I've had people break in line in front of me at stores. I don't say that. I'd back up and I think, well, they ain't that big a hurry. They must be have something going on. Maybe they got to get back to the car or back to the house. I just back up. But I need to be more patient, more long-suffering. Now, church members probably is the worst in my book that I'm not patient enough with and long-suffering. Because I think, boy, if I know this, dumb as I am, everybody should know it. I think, well, if I see this, everybody should see it. Why don't you see it? But I want to be more patient. Now, I'm a lot better than I used to be. I started to say, ask my wife, but please don't. I used to be, my patience used to be real short. I didn't have no patience. Thank God. You know, sometimes I can just, we used to watch Reba. I know that's wrong, and I know all them people on there probably lost and going to hell, but it was funny, okay? Y'all probably never did watch Reba, did you, Mike? You missed a good show. I mean, that's okay. If that's your convictions, that's okay. The girl can sing, too. I know she ought not sing where she goes and some of the songs, but the girl, of course, she sounds a lot like me, you know, and the rest of us. But boy, I'd watch that thing. And that one old boy on there, Van, I think everybody's got a Van in their family. Dumb as dirt. Just dumb, just stupid, just stupid. But he was so funny. He was so funny. And one time he said this. He said, now this is Van, biblical teaching, okay? They was all upset about something. He said, I got one word for you. She said, what's that? He said, let it go. She said, what? He said, let it go. She said, that's two words. He said, let it go. As I get older, I just let it go. I mean, us getting upset ain't going to change nothing. Amen? Except when I'm driving. I can flash my headlights, blow the horn, rev up my truck motor. Let it go. I need to be more patient. I need to exercise more self-control, not let circumstances or even other people determine how I live.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
Why do we let other people determine how we live? Why do we let circumstances determine how we live or react or act? Amen? Self-control, he says. Self-control. Temperance. Self-control. Why would I want somebody that I don't even like cause me to live the way I live? I can't hardly watch TV news no more. I get so mad. I don't cuss. But if my wife did, I'd say amen. She don't cuss either. But if one of y'all did, I watch these perverts and reprobates in politics, and I just want to get mad. Why should I let them control the way I feel? If I'm right and they're wrong, they ought to be the ones that feel bad, not me. I want to practice more self-control. These aren't given as goals that we're to pursue, but they're produce.
Yes.
They're a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we allow Him to plant and to water, God gives increase if we walk in the Spirit. We're merely bearers. All we are, bearers of this fruit. That's all we are. He lets us carry it. It ain't our fruit. It's His. You say, well, look at my fruit. It ain't yours. It's grafted in. He slid a little place in you and slid that little branch in there, and now it's producing something. The fruit doesn't dedicate... I had to write this one down. It took me a while to write it the way I wanted to say it. The fruit doesn't demonstrate our dedication and resolve, but it reveals our dependence and our sensitivity to His resolve. They're not simply a mark of Spirit-filled life. They are the mark of the Spirit-filled life. Not just a mark. They are the mark of a Spirit-filled life. It's not all about singing and dancing. It's not all about clapping. It's not all about having fun. It's not all about being relevant. It's not all about being modern or contemporary. Hey, it's about Him and His fruit, not your fruit. These people are planting strange fruit. They're planting strange fruit. They're producing fruit that didn't come from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life, it's not so much recognized, even by our dress or our separation from the world. The Muslims do that. If anybody was going to heaven because of the way they dress, the Muslims are going. You won't find a more modest, covered-up people than Muslims. Or Jehovah Witness. Mormons do pretty good in that area. Baptists are the ones that lack. But it's not. That's not a sign of the Spirit-filled life. That's a sign of the legal part, not the Spirit part. It's manifested in these verse 22 and 23, and I'll quit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Boy, we can stop right there. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. Did you know Jesus spoke more on love than He did on judgment? Did you know He spoke more on peace than He did condemnation? Because the Spirit speaks that way. Now, if we manifest these fruits in verse 22 and 23, did you know people will be convicted just by being around us? You remember growing up, there's some Christians, you get around them, you get convicted, and they never condemned a thing you did. But you saw these fruits, and you didn't know what you saw, but now you look back on it, and you see that you saw the Holy Spirit on them and in them and around them by these fruits that you didn't have. Sometimes people think, well, the fruit of the Spirit is going to church on Sunday. The devil goes to church every Sunday. I think he's been here a few times. Demons go to church every Sunday. Some people think, well, the fruit of the Spirit is I don't have these filthy habits. Well, it's simply because you chose not to have them. Right. Now, some, you know, God delivers us from things, but that's not a sign of fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, these things are the fruit of the Spirit. And when we have these things, you won't have to say a whole lot to be a witness. Right. They'll say, no, you can't talk about that around them. Brother Taylor, he don't talk like that. Let's see, we can't do that while Holroyd's around. That ain't the way he is. And they'll say, you know what? No matter how bad I've treated her, she's always loved me anyway. Y'all see what I'm saying? The greatest witness. Now, I can teach you the Roman road upside down, sideways, frontwards, and backwards, and nobody gets saved. And you cannot know the Roman road, and people get saved because of the Holy Spirit in you, on you, and around you. And whenever you get around them, they feel Him, they see Him, they hear Him, they don't see and feel and hear you. That's walking in the Spirit. Let's do it for the rest of the week. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's do it. And you have to consciously do it. Because the flesh ain't going to want to do it. So you have to consciously submit to the Holy Spirit. Now, you're not doing it to get saved. You're doing it so other people can get saved. Let's stand. Father, thank you.